Thank you, Pastor Randy, and it sounds like I'm on. So, good. Well, what a thrill to be here with you folks today and to be a part of this morning worship service and to know that our God is the God of all the universe. He is the Creator, and it's what a joy to be in His tabernacle today. It's a real pleasure to be a part of the Anna Church this morning and to worship our Lord together as we sing and read the Word and we share together. You have an incredible, incredible pastor, and we just appreciate so much Pastor Randy and Lee and what they do and their commitment not only to Christ but their commitment to you and the Church of the Nazarene. So I'm excited about all that I hear that's going on here in Anna. I'm able to, I forgot you were online, so sorry about that. So it's a real joy to be a part of the service. And I wanted to give just a moment for Becky to tell you just briefly about our family. One of the things that we miss about in this role, we served as a pastor for 38 years. So every week we were in a local church, in our local church, the same church every week. And so in this new assignment, one of the things that we have come to miss is the relationships and the connections with the people. And we have discovered that by sharing a little bit about us and who we are as a family, it seems to help make the connection a little bit better. So I'm going to let Becky just tell you briefly about our family.
Well, good morning. Good morning. It is so good to be here and to be a part of this and to see you. And the only thing that would make this better is if snow was falling. You probably don't agree, but it is snowing in Oklahoma. Our kids have sent videos and have sent pictures, and the little ones are outside playing in it and having a great time. So, and I personally love snow, having grown up in Minnesota. My dad is still there living, and he is active and busy with hunting and trapping and cooking. He bakes cookies. He has already given away over 50 plates of cookies so far this Christmas. That's just kind of his thing. He's done that for years. So it's fun and exciting. And he doesn't need the snow. He's okay if it doesn't snow. I do enjoy a beautiful snowfall, though. Terry's folks live in Kansas, and they are retired pastor as well and wife. And they are staying very put inside. Mom has not been out of the house hardly at all for the last several months. And Dad gets out to do a little shopping and all, but they're busy and pastored for years and years. Terry grew up in the parsonage. So we have four children. Our oldest is an ER doctor in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, with two children there. And Gracie and Davin, and we actually just came from there. It's kind of nice to come to Anna just because we get to stop in and see them and had a good time with them. Our second is a gym instructor, but he is actually a minister and was on staff with us in Oklahoma, and he runs a CrossFit gym. His wife is a labor and delivery nurse. And if you need something to pray about, their family of six are all with COVID at the moment. A tough weekend for mom to be here thinking, I want to be there helping. But they're saying, of course, stay as far away as possible. And they are all, the last of the six came down with it, I guess, overnight. And they're assuming the children have it because both parents tested positive. And so that's kind of tough on them right now, but people are blessing them and dropping food off and Gatorade and liquid IV, which I'd never heard of. But anyway, bringing them all kinds of good things, trying to help them, and prayers are going up. Our daughter is an assistant principal. She is single, but this summer she adopted a little girl. Lindley, it will be two on December 27th. And so much fun. That was the picture we got, her playing in the snow this morning already. And Amy has been in a very exciting last 2 years, having taken Lindley in, and then with COVID and schools and changes and whatever. And then Kip, our youngest, is a paramedic firefighter. His wife is a teacher. At this point, she teaches simply online to kids overseas. And they have three children, Caliber, Rivi, and Rossi. Rossi was born in May, and so we have met her, but we haven't seen much of her. So I just wanted to share briefly with you this morning our family, and thank you for praying for us and for them. We do miss attending church with them. We miss getting to babysit and watch them, but we know we're right where God is supposed to be. And I read this week about Christmas and missing out on a lot of the holidays activities and being with family, and our plans are really up in the air, of course, with the kids and all that's going on. But the first Christmas was one of total isolation, if you stop and think about it, with Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus by themselves, basically ostracized because of the situation, and Mary being pregnant, and they had not been together yet in their marriage, and then they had to travel to basically what was a foreign land for them because they hadn't lived there, and in a stable by themselves, all alone, the first Christmas was celebrated. So for each of us, we can celebrate it anyway, anyhow, in knowing that we have Jesus Emmanuel with us. It's what made it right for them, Emmanuel, God with us, and he is with us today.
Amen. Thanks. Well, thank you, Becky, and I hope that you really don't have an opportunity to meet our son. At least you don't meet him in the ER room, because I know that some of you, your medical care, oftentimes you run to Cape Girardeau, so I hope that if you meet him, it's not in the ER room. I guess I should say it that way. Well, as we look at this third Sunday of Advent, you know, growing up for me in the Church of Nazarene, Advent and Lent were kind of, Catholic words for me. As I would hear my schoolmates that attended the Catholic Church, they would often talk about Lent, they would talk about Advent, and they were just words that were foreign to me. We didn't practice them in the church as a kid growing up. But when I really began to understand the Christian calendar and began to understand the seasons that would enable us to prepare for, in this case, for Advent, it began to be a real significant time of preparing our hearts, preparing our minds so that we could experience the full measure, the full meaning of what Christmas really is about. And so I'm thankful that you're participating in Advent, and that today we are looking at the theme of peace. And, of course, there are several scriptures about peace. One of my favorites found in Philippians chapter 4, Paul says, Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then I like the passage in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. You will keep, did you catch that? You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord Himself is rock eternal. So as we begin to talk about peace this morning, we're looking for this something that happens within us that goes beyond human understanding that enables us to face each day with a sense of inner contentment, a sense of inner peace that goes beyond the mind. I mean, after all, we live in a world that's chaotic. 2020, who would have ever guessed a year ago? We attended, the grandkids were in a Christmas program last night, and the pastor of their church was making that statement. Who would have ever dreamed a year ago when we were celebrating Christmas that the next year, 2020, this year, would have turned out like this? I mean, this year was so chaotic. Churches shut down. Schools closed. And then in the mix of that, we add this idea of political turmoil and unrest. And racial discrimination, and all kinds of stuff that just kind of turned this world into this chaotic brokenness that we're wondering, where in the world can we discover, where in the world can we find peace in the midst of the chaos? As I think about the Christmas story, I think that we could often look to the story of Mary and see that she too lived in a world that was chaotic. It was a world that was broken. It was a world that she had to be saying, how in the world can I discover peace in the midst of this chaos? Just think for a moment as you look back at her world. She was living at a time as a young teenager in a world that was dominated by Roman dominion. And for the Israelites, it was terrible. It was something that they were just wanting to know that somehow there would be a Messiah that would come and deliver them from this oppression. And then there was a lot of, in Jesus' days, there was a lot of sickness. I think of leprosy, of how terrible that disease was, and how there were leper camps or leper towns that people that would contract the disease, they would have to leave their homes and their families and go live in isolation away from their world because they had leprosy. So they were facing, in Mary's day, was facing kind of the same stuff. The stuff of political unrest, Roman dominion, physical struggles, diseases like leprosy. And then to top all of that off, Mary, this young teenager, her world is rocked because an angel comes alongside her and says, you're going to have a baby. And she, even in the midst of the text that we'll read here in just a moment, declared, well, how can this be? Because I am still a virgin. And so she too was living in a world of chaos. And yet somehow in the midst of her chaos, I believe she found peace. And this morning as we read this text and talk just for a few moments, a couple of ideas that I think helped her find peace in the midst of the world. Pastor Randy, I don't know, this went off. I don't know if there's something that you need. Oh, okay, all right. I lost this. Okay. So here's the text in Luke chapter 1. We're going to read the part of verse 26 through 45, and it's going to be the story, the account of Mary. It's something that you've heard over and over again, but it's great to hear, and we're going to look for three things from this story that help Mary find peace in the midst of her chaos. Verse 26, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. No word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greetings, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and in a loud voice she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. The reading of the Word of God. So as we look at Mary's life, living in the midst of chaos and brokenness, in a world where she struggled, much like to us today, in a world where we are living in chaotic brokenness, we discover that there are three simple thoughts that I see in Mary's life that prepared her to find peace in the midst of this chaos. The first is simply this. There was something in her life that put her in the right place at the right time. She was in the right place at the right time to hear and to receive the word from the angel. And for you and I, as we live in the midst of this chaos, where is the right place for us to hear God's voice? I'm so excited about what's going on in Anna, and that you as the church have made a decision that you were going to find creative ways to put yourself in the right place so that you could hear the Word of God. I know for me, as I think back over my life, there have been many times that I've found myself in a place where I could hear the Word of God, the voice of God, speak to me. And there's probably none more clear than when I was between the 7th and 8th grade year of school, as a young 13-year-old kid at youth camp. We were there, and there were a lot of places I could have been. I loved summers, and I loved to play baseball, and every year when I went to youth camp, it seemed as if I would always have to miss a baseball game. And it was always frustrating to me that I would miss a game. But you see, I loved youth camp. And I learned that at youth camp, it always helped me to be in the right place at the right time to hear the voice of God. And it was that summer between the 7th and 8th grade year at Old Camp Sagamont, south of Joplin, Missouri, that after the speaker had given the altar call, I went over on the side of the platform, and this was an open-air tabernacle, just like today. And it was over there at an altar, and there were train tracks almost as close as the building, not quite, but almost as close to the building as this is to your building. And it was there at that altar that I knelt down, and as I prayed and asked for the Lord to do something in my life, I heard His voice say, Terry, I'm calling you. I want you to be a pastor. I want you to be a minister of the gospel. I want you to give your life to serve me in a way that will affect people. You see, it was at that camp that I found myself at the right place at the right time, that I could hear the voice of God calling me and answer what He would say and ask me to do. So for you, my friends, I ask you the question, what can you do to place yourself in the right place at the right time in the midst of all of our 2020 chaos that you can hear the voice of God? I think church is one of those places. But I am so glad that God is not limited to a building. But there are many ways, many places. I remember a fellow by the name of Phil that was in one of my early churches. And he was a wheat farmer. And Phil and I would talk a lot of times about harvesting the wheat. And he would talk to me and he shared with me that there was nothing more sacred to him that the times that he was sitting in the combine and cutting through the fields and he could hear the voice of God speaking to him, talking to him about what it was in his life and talking to him about God's creation and how he caused the grain to grow and how Phil had to do the work. But he placed himself in a position to hear the voice of God. And so for us today, what do we need to do to find peace in the midst of our chaos? Number one, we have to put ourselves in a position to hear the voice of God. Secondly, as you look at the story of Mary, there was a decision that she made to be obedient to God's voice. I mean, I cannot imagine that conversation that took place between Gabriel and Mary. And the shock on Mary as she listened to this heavenly voice, this heavenly being, tell her that she was going to become the mother of the Messiah. Wow. You talk about rocking your world. But in the midst of that, the second key point to finding peace is that she submitted herself to obedience. She was willing to say, Lord, whatever you would want me to be. And she says it there, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. And this morning, as we think about finding peace in the midst of this chaotic world, it requires that when we hear the voice of God, that we are willing to submit to Him and be obedient to anything and everything that He would ask of us. Peace comes through trust, as we read in Isaiah. And trust requires us to be obedient to whatever God has in store for us. When we trust God, we know that He has the best plans in place for us. So as we place ourselves in the right position at the right time to hear the voice of God, we also must declare that we will be obedient to whatever He would ask us to do. And then the third point is significant, but it's very simple, but yet it's very hard. Have you ever had those times that something was simple, but it was hard? So after Mary declared her obedience, may it be to me as you said, it says there in the next verse that immediately she went to visit her relative. And I believe that one of the important parts of the life of people today in our world to find peace in the midst of our chaos is that we have to surround ourselves with other people that are of like faith. We need mentors. We need people that will speak life into the midst of us. I remember one of our first assignments. I didn't really give you the history of our path, but my first assignment was assignment of a youth pastor, and we love hanging out with young people. And we had a really great group. We enjoyed the kids, and there was just a lot of exciting things that would take place in the midst of youth ministry. But one of the things I learned is that parents have tremendous influence, which should be the way it is. Parents, we as parents should influence our teens. We shouldn't rely on just the church to influence them. They're going to be, our children and our teenagers are going to be influenced by the way that we live our life. But that means we must be very careful. One particular teen, he was so excited to come into the youth group. He came in after we'd been there about a year and a half. He entered into the youth group, and man, he just loved everything about the youth group. He was a teen Bible quizzer. He loved going on the activities. Just everything about the youth group was so dynamic to him. He just wanted to be a part. But I began to watch as the influence of his mother, who was always, always negative. She had something negative that seemed like to say about everything. And it wasn't too long before this young teenager who had been so excited about getting into the youth group had become so influenced by the negativity of his parent that he too began to see all the things that were wrong with the youth group instead of seeing the things that were bringing joy and excitement. And so, parents, we have an incredible responsibility to set a good example for our young people and our children. We have to speak good words and wholesome words and speak positive about life. I mean, they're looking to us. They're looking to see how we're going to handle all the midst of this chaos in 2020. And we, as parents and grandparents, we need to be setting a good example. I thought of this last night as we sat there. The program that our grandkids were in was a combined children and teenagers and adults. And the last song was a rockin' song. I mean, it was just rock and roll kind of stuff. And there was a lady, I don't know how old she was. She looked older than me. Which sometimes I'm beginning to think I forget how old I am. But she looked like, you know, she would have been one of those kind of parents, or grandparents, that would have thought, this isn't probably the best music that I like. It wasn't something that was in the 50s and the 60s that was just kind of easy and all that kind of stuff. It was rocking and rolling. And she was just smiling and clapping. And I don't know how she felt on the inside, but on the outside it looked as if, even though it wasn't something that was of her generation, it wasn't something that was a part of what she would probably want to be a part of, but she was putting off an air that it was joy to be a part of it. And that's the way that we have to live in our faith. We have to find, as people, we have to be good examples to our young people and our children that church really is a good place to be and that fellowship of believers is a good place to be. And we need to invest into the lives of other people, sharing with them the hope that we have in Jesus Christ and the peace that we can find from knowing Him. So, what places are you putting yourself in to find peace in the midst of the chaos? Are you willing to be obedient and say, okay, Lord, whatever you ask, I am willing to do? And who are you bringing into your life that can speak wholeness into you? And on the same token, who are you speaking wholeness to in the world around us? If we will invest and put those three practices into our lives, I believe in the midst of our chaotic, broken world, we can find peace and hope and joy and know how to love Christ in the way that He loved us in such a way that it will impact the world around us. And they will see a Christ who was willing to give up all the frills and all of the splendor of heaven to come into the broken world and come and to enter into this world as a baby, to grow up and to walk as you and I walk and to obey as He wants us to obey. His willingness to offer Himself as a sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins. And He's the one that this Christmas season we can put our hope in. And so this morning, I just ask you, people, congregation, friends, are you putting your trust in the one who so loves us that He willingly gave up His life and came to this earth to put on human skin so that we could find the perfect sacrifice and the perfect way to discover peace in the midst of our chaotic world? Let me pray with you today. Father, thank you again for this wonderful congregation here in Southern Illinois. These people that love you and are doing an incredible job of living out their faith in this community. And Lord, I pray that you would help all of us to find today, to be reminded today, to experience today the peace that passes all understanding, that transcends, that goes over and beyond any of our human wisdom, that gives us this peace that enables us to live and to walk in a way that we have hope in the midst of our chaotic, broken world. Thank you again for Pastor Randy and Lee and their faithfulness. And I pray that you would continue to use them to guide and lead this congregation as they live out their faith, as they help people who are broken to find wholeness, as they help people who are living in darkness to find light. And Lord Jesus, may you be glorified. And I pray that today, this week, this month, and in the new year, somehow we will make sure that we find a place, the right place, that we might hear your voice, and that we will be obedient, and then we will surround ourselves and be part of your body that would speak wholeness and completeness into the world, living out peace day after day. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen. Thank you again for allowing me to be here today, and look forward to hearing more about the life of your church. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor.